All right, it's the steering committee. We're back after a little bit of a Thanksgiving break, but we've got stories.
We've got stories again.
Big one, you rolled up in a new vehicle. In fact, I didn't even hear you roll up, which is usually when you're in the is it the LX470? Is that what you've got?
GX470.
Yeah. It's got a little bit of a V8 rumble.
4.7 liter V8.
Yeah. It's got some miles too, so it's probably not running like the top it once was, but it's still a Lexus.
Yes, I think it has covered enough mileage to get to the moon and back, so yeah.
But this thing, you've teased this, I like to refer to this as the NSX of pickup trucks.
I think it's the nicest thing anyone's ever said about it, ever.
Really?
About a Honda Ridgeline. I think that's the nicest thing.
If only it was a manual.
I take it as a compliment. But even the current NSX isn't a manual.
Well, on paper, it's about, 270 horsepower V6, Honda V6.
280.
So it's about what the first horsepower, gen NSX was, right?
Yeah, 260 pounds per feet. Yeah, so we did. We went ahead and pulled the trigger. We got a 2022 Honda Ridgeline Sport. I would say sharp listeners to the podcast will know I've always been a fan of Ridgelines. Yeah. In fact, when we had our episode where we talked about unappreciated cars, do you remember that one?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mentioned I like the first generation Ridgelines a lot.
Yeah. So. Yeah. You see them everywhere, but to your point, you don't really hear about them, but they're ubiquitous.
Yeah. Just a little bit of the history on them. I mean, they were launched in 2006 as a 2007 model year. Very unique take on a pickup truck. I remember that was sort of what everyone sort of take away.
Yeah, that was sort of a slow burn for me, that one, especially that first generation, that look.
I think the people at Honda North America would agree that that's how most people took it as well. It didn't sell in tremendous numbers really throughout the entire production line, but by the end it was considered a modest success.
And let's explain what this is, because we're usually talking about Porsches and stuff. Yeah. This is basically a Honda Pilot without the SUV part. So it's the first
Ridgeline,
unibody.
The first Ridgeline was a lot more unique. It was much more of its own platform. The current one, the one that we have, it's effectively a Honda Pilot, but with a truck bed in the back. From the front to about the B pillar, it's almost identical to a Pilot.
So. And this is the second generation. You got the facelift, which was new for 21. Is that
facelifted in 2021.
And so I think the knock against this, the pre-facelift second generation, right, was that no one seemed to like the look of the first generation, right? So when they came out the second generation, what did they do? They made it even less butch.
They went a little bit. Yeah, the first one was just controversial.
It's almost El Camino like.
Yeah,
it's like an Accord El Camino.
And I think the first generation,
I liked it though,
kind of grew into its looks, and I think it's aged pretty well. I think when you see them now, they
absolutely
look pretty good. And then in 2017, there was a couple years off there of production, and in 2017, second generation was launched, and it was. It was like that rule of design. It wasn't good, but it wasn't bad. It was kind of bland.
Like a lot of Hondas.
It just didn't really do anything for anybody. And it had, if anything, just too much of a crossover, look to it.
I think a lot of people were just going for the Pilot, right?
I mean, it certainly wouldn't have appealed to traditional truck buyers.
Sure.
Okay. And then you're right. If you wanted the SUV, then you're into one of their other vehicles. Pilot or the Passport or something like that.
And that's been a struggle for the Japanese manufacturers with the midsize and full-size pickup trucks, right? In fact, would I just hear they're pulling the...
I wouldn't say Toyota's had that issue.
Well, not Toyota so much. Although, aren't they pulling... Was it that or Nissan who's pulling their big pickup truck in a year? Is it Nissan? Okay, all right.
Nissan just announced...
But see, and I think part of that's Toyota's been making pickups since the 70s or selling pickups since the 70s here, right? Honda, Nissan... the Nissan, the hard bodies, they go way back too.
Nissan's had a good history with the smaller pickup truck, and I think they just have launched a new Frontier. So they're more,
finally, because that had been around since like 2006 or something. No joke. But, I think
the Titan, which was a full size one,
just redesigned it too.
Yeah. And like 3 or 4 years ago, they've been announced that they're going to stop production.
I think they redesigned it this year, gave it another facelift, and now it's canceled next year. So anyway,
It's kind of a weird looking one. Have you seen what they look like?
It is. But I do, back to the looks of yours. So you have this facelift, which is a little more truckish looking, a little more squared off.
So literally what they did is they squared off the front, made the grill bigger, built it up a little bit.
Giant hood ornament.
the biggest Honda symbol you've ever seen. I pointed out to you, right? Yeah. It's the size of like a plate almost. It's
but like
huge.
Mercedes, yeah. You see, I guess that's where the radar cruise control hides.
That's right. Yeah, so this has radar cruise control. That's where the radar system for that is. But also, I think that's also part of the look they were trying to go for. I read a lot of reviews or watched a lot of reviews online. Doesn't house any more mechanical equipment. They literally just built that up to give it more of a truck face. Yeah,
interesting. Interesting.
Same with what you pointed out. It has what appears to be dual exhaust on the back.
It's
dual exhaust tips.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Again, to make it look more like a truck, like what people would expect when they see a truck.
Yeah, but just give me the single exhaust, give me the $100 back or whatever that would have.
Yeah, I mean, that's maybe. But it's overall, I would say from the 2021s on and the 2022s, a much better looking product altogether.
So you have three young kids.
Yes.
Got some children's.
Yeah, got some kids.
You didn't consider the Pilot.
No. This has a
big, not a crew cab, what do you call it? It's a four-door pickup truck. So it's got
almost
as much room in the back probably as the Pilot would have.
And this is one of the reasons why this was a leading contender. It's on the outside, it's a mid-size pickup truck, but the cabin size is closer to a full size in terms of shoulder width, hip room, headroom, things like that.
I'm guessing you had spreadsheets.
I didn't have spreadsheets, but I compared numbers though. It was in distant second place to this would have been a Toyota Tundra.
Uh-huh. And that's more truckish.
Very truckish. Yeah. And it would have been one of the last of the generation that just got replaced.
So the analogy or whatever would be the forerunner to the Pilot of you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, it would be. Well, the Tundra is Toyota's full size.
Oh, Sequoia, rather. Sorry, yeah, that's Sequoia is based on, right?
Exactly. Okay. Yeah, Sequoia, Tundra are relatively the same thing, and it's a truck. It's a real truck with traditional
body on frame
design.
This one's unibody.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I think this is what I would buy if I was looking for a truck. I mean, I like it a lot. But back to why you didn't consider the Pilot with three kids and all that. It's Kathleen, right?
Kathleen
had some input on this.
Kathleen really wanted a pickup truck.
Yeah.
We do.
And you were okay with that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we do a lot of home projects. From time to time, we sometimes would borrow my father-in-law's, and having it is just like, you feel empowered. Like, I can go do things.
Well, no, that's a Dodge Ram, but yeah.
No, it doesn't matter. It's like, I love being able to, we picked up our Christmas tree tonight.
Yeah, that's nice.
And I was just like, yep, just go throw it in the bed of the truck there. So
So we had a rental car. That's how we got our Christmas tree home. We had a rental car for our Thanksgiving break. I don't think I would have done it on ours.
Yeah, but you don't worry about that.
That's
the bed of the truck. It's got this.
Even I wouldn't worry. It's got this textured bed.
It's got this composite textured waterproof bed. You know, it's pretty much
waterproof.
Yeah, it's apparently.
You fill it with water. They did that on Top Gear one time.
Oh, I don't know.
It was one of the American episodes where they turned the back into a hot tub. Am I thinking of another car show?
No, that sounds familiar, but I'm not sure exactly what that was. But
so how watertight is that bed?
I don't know, but the trunk it has like the old one. It has
that's what you're referring to. Okay.
Well, no, they call the bed liner waterproof, but I don't know if it actually means like the bed is actually like waterproof. But apparently that trunk that's in there is 100% waterproof, because I was listening to a reviewer who said that he's had one for a few years. Yeah. He has a carpet in the bottom of his, and it's never been wet. So
what Doug's talking about, he just showed this to me. This is the most experience I've had with a Honda Ridgeline, and it's been 10 minutes in my driveway here. But under the bed, which comes from the factory line, so you don't have to, no aftermarket stuff, you unlock it, lift up a thing, and there's room probably for four or five grocery bags.
Yeah, I would say even more. It's deeper.
It's deep.
It's a deep, sort of bed, trunk almost in the bed.
Yeah.
It's the one that's got everyone, they talk about how it's got the little drain plug at the bottom.
It has the
thing to release underneath it. Yeah. It's required to have that. I'll show it to you if you want. It's
just like a frunk in my GT4.
That's right. So if you ever try and kidnap somebody, they can get themselves out of it. And if you, in your GT4, try and kidnap someone, throw them in the frunk.
First of all,
you would never do that, because that's going to throw off the steering balance. Not for morality reasons.
Is that considered corner weight, corner balancing?
And then it has the cool trick tailgate, which opens up like a barn door to one side, or folds down like a traditional.
It's kind of mind-boggling, honestly. Yeah. But so you got it's black.
All black, yeah.
Okay, now is that like sort of a non-metallic black, a metallic black?
It's a metallic black, although it's a mess right now. It is. It's considered a metallic black. So,
yeah,
so,
you broke this. You broke this thing in the hard way. Yeah,
We were at the
Kids too.
We were on a road trip down to see some family in San Diego. We stopped by Colorado Springs, and
you tried to buy one in Arizona somewhere, and it was just kind of a scam. And
we won't.
Do you want to give out a shout out or give a shout out to this dealership? Because you said you had a good experience.
I do. Yeah. Mike Marone, Honda in Colorado Springs. We had my sales guy was Malik. He was great. Really no BS. I mean, the problem, I think last time I talked with you about this, I kept saying that like a bunch of them are advertised at a certain price, but then they add on a bunch of stuff. That was universal across the country. I checked all over the country. All of them were adding $2,000 to $4,000 worth of equipment onto it.
But not this place.
No, unfortunately.
Oh, okay.
But it was only the $2,000.
At least they were up front. And
well, yeah, I mean, it was right there. It was here's what it is. We've got it on this. Da, 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 da. And at least they're adding. You're getting something out of it.
Okay.
So I mean, it's not like just like it's not just a dealer markup. It's like we're adding on.
So your blinker fluid is topped up.
it's all pure nitrogen in the tires. That's right. We weren't going to get around that basically. Right. So apparently the story with these is that they've been relatively modest sales success.
Yeah.
But as they've been redesigned, the word's starting to get out and now they're kind of starting to fly off the dealers. Cool. So while we were there, two other people were there looking at it and they bought two, same afternoon we did.
I dig it. So how many trim levels are there?
Three or four. So what we
it's
have,
all the same powertrain.
Yes. Yeah. It's all the same. So it's the 3.5 liter V6, which is tried and tested. It's it's been in the Pilot for a long time. It's been in the Odyssey. It's been in the
Accord.
It's been in the previous Ridgeline. Yeah. It's
in the Accord or is that a 3 liter?
I'm not sure.
It might not be the same.
I don't think it's been in the Accords recently, but it's been in their bigger vehicles. Yeah. So the Passport, the Pilot, the Ridgeline, the
Passport. Odyssey. That's something I've forgotten about.
Yeah. Their Pilot is the full size SUV. The Passport's like the next size down.
I don't know if I've even seen one. If I've seen one, I'd even recognize it.
You might not.
It.
They look a lot like a Pilot unless they're next to each other. You wouldn't necessarily know they're different. So
interesting.
Yeah. But it's a very dependable, reliable engine. So,
And this is, you got it's basically Sport, the base, right?
Sport, which is the basic.
But I never would have known it. Like
this is the thing that kept coming up in the reviews is that, the press fleets that all the guys that would have these things and it was, whether it was Road and Track or if it was, the YouTubers or anything like that, they were all getting a Sport as their press vehicle. It's almost like Honda wanted to show hey, we threw a bunch of stuff on the base. Like, take a look at it. If you like this, you'll obviously love any of the steps above it. So, it has the radar cruise control.
It's got Apple Play.
It's got Apple Play. It's got
Xenon headlights, or is that?
I think so. Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's got all the almost the only major sort of safety feature that it doesn't have on it is the blind spot monitoring.
Well, that's one more reason to buy it.
I don't really like those systems anyways, but it has lane departure. It has
which you can turn off.
Yes. Yeah. Has automatic braking and collision avoidance has that too. And it's just a lot of nice things on it. I mean, it's, we love it. 9-speed transmission, which.
Yeah. You said amazing gas mileage.
Amazing.
I'm sure it'll only improve as it breaks in a little bit.
And, and it's just, and it has most importantly a volume knob.
Was the big hit against the pre-facelift.
Well, this is the thing. It was
in other Hondas.
It was mentioned in almost the first or second paragraph of every review I read. Thank God almighty.
It does look a little tacked on.
It looks like it was an afterthought a little bit.
Yeah. Like they didn't really want to put it there.
But the fact that it's there is apparently so journalists were just like, we have to praise this. We have to reward good behavior.
Absolutely. I would say this isn't our usual realm of what we talk about on the show, but I think it's steering committee approved 100%. So congratulations.
Thank you. It's and this is another theme. It's that you hear a lot. It's the pickup truck most people need if they're being honest with themselves of what they're going to do with it. So
for men who are secure in their masculinity.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. And we live in the city.
I would get.
Yeah, I've driven the bigger pickup trucks in this, the side streets here in Denver where I live, and it's like it's nerve wracking.
No, I wouldn't want to do that. And Denver's not half as bad as a lot of cities. So I did get a kick out of it. I just sat in it, and even though you've already put 2,400 miles on it, going back to San Diego and back, right, and with three kids and all the stuff that goes along with it.
Yeah.
That Honda new car smell shone right through.
Yeah, you that took you back, right? Because you've had
the odor equivalent of shine? That's what it. That's what's happening. Yeah, it's yeah. It's a every brand has its own smell.
Well, and that's interesting. Well, okay, yeah, maybe we have to sit in a few cars and see if we can. Well,
I got a kick out of. I was in a newer Mercedes that had been parked out in the sun for a while, and it hit me. The smell smelled like my grandfather's 74 240D.
Oh, really?
Like wow. 300,000. Like it's still there's still that Mercedes smell. Honda has a smell. I think Porsche has a smell. That you know, the GT4 smells a little different from the Cayman I had before because this one's got all the Alcantara, and I think that's what you smell. But
yeah,
that smelled like a new Honda. It was just, I don't know. It's just, it's very pleasant. It's very Honda-ish inside the layout.
Yeah,
it, you know, everything's where it should be.
Everything
falls to hand.
Yeah, it's very intelligently
it's
laid
honest.
Out.
It's honest. It's an honest car.
And if I can just, without, I mean, this isn't obviously an in-depth review, a road review. We're not journalists in that respect. But yeah, I think, well, I was going to let you take it for a spin, you know, if you want at some point, but tonight's not
the
night.
I take the San Diego and back.
Why not? Yeah. We're planning to put a lot of miles on this one. So, you know, again, just to think about the vehicle that we wanted, we were looking at a bunch of stuff, including things like Land Cruisers and right. other pickup trucks. But we envision using this car to go to like the national parks that are out here and go on camping trips. So it's like, we're going to put mileage on this thing. The fact that it gets good mileage is a huge benefit. Yeah. So
well, I really like it. I hope you have many years of,
I hope so. And
pleasurable driving.
Just one last thing. And it's just a Honda thing. Cause you were a new Honda owner. You
the first new car we ever bought as a couple, I don't know if we were, I guess we were married, but we bought a Fit. I think it was a 2014 or 2015 Fit. Also a base manual transmission, the best cars we've ever owned. Visibility was great.
Yeah.
The shifter was great. The transmission, the clutch, it was like a little sewing machine. Everything was light. It was awesome. I would totally buy another Honda.
And
I miss that car sometimes.
And
I'd still have it had it not been destroyed by a hellstorm after we moved to Denver. But
Well, and as when you said that, you mentioned that about your Fit that you equated it to the sewing machine, which I like as an analogy. This is only the third new car we've purchased or I've purchased, mm-hmm. My wife and I, including my own self before I met my wife, and two out of the three now have been Hondas, brand new Hondas. And there is something nice to that. When you said like that sewing machine feel, like that's what this has. The engine and the transmission are just in like this, you know, this perfect precision, you know, harmony type thing. You just feel like you're driving like a really well-built piece of equipment.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that feeling. So
I would, as far as the Japanese brands, Honda all the way, I'll segue, I guess, into the car that I drove over Thanksgiving, which was a rental.
Yeah.
A new RAV4, but a very base RAV4.
Yeah.
Steel wheels with hubcaps.
Oh, wow. I didn't think you could get that on new cars.
Yeah. It did have all-wheel drive. They do have a front-wheel drive base model, but this was the all-wheel drive model. It actually had Michelin's on it, which I was, you go and buy a pretty nice car anymore, and it'll have some strange, like, Czechoslovakian or Korean, tire brand you've never heard of. It's had Michelin's on it. I'll give it that. I think all the RAV4s, other than the hybrids, share the same. I think it's a roughly 200 horsepower four-cylinder. But the whole time I kept thinking, we've got a 2017 Tiguan, so it's the old one, right?
Yeah.
The last couple of years of the old one. And our Tiguan feels and drives like an Audi compared to this RAV4. It was a great car to end up with a rental car, maybe not the best, road trip car necessarily as far as comfort on the highway. It had decent power. I think it was probably faster than it felt. So much hard plastic, though.
Yeah.
I think it also a 7 or 9 speed transmission. It just never really felt alive. The handling was dead, the steering compared to even our Tiguan. And that could be chalked up to the Tiguan. I think still has the hydraulic steering.
Yeah.
But, little things like it's got the big screen in the middle, but then it's got a smaller screen inset. So I can't judge all RAV4s based on this example we drove.
You mean like you can tell the dash,
it's got like
is ready for a bigger
3-inch
screen.
Frame around it.
Yeah, that's usually a sign of like if you have because I noticed that on older Ridgelines that we were looking at, the ones that it's like the plastic is 7 inches wide,
right.
But like the screen's
there's nothing wrong with the size of the screen necessarily, but they've got this, it's just, it's the first thing, it's just like, they usually put like the ugly wheels in the base models. Right. I mean, they design that in. Although I got to say your original, I think, has some great looking wheels, and those are 18, 19 inch alloys. I mean, they're
18s in there.
They're very nice.
I think they're nice looking black steel alloy or black alloy wheels.
Yeah. But back to this RAV4. I mean, it's just, it's a, God, we got a screaming deal on it, so I won't complain. But just, yeah, just an uninspired, it's just very un-Honda-like. And I, last few Toyotas I've been in, I've sort of felt that way. We've had a couple more recent rental Camrys and things, and they just really haven't, they're really truly appliances. Now, yeah. I know my brother-in-law has the new hybrid RAV4, and I think the base price is probably close to twice what this one was. And that's on another level. I mean, it's fundamentally the same car, but you've got leather where this one had hard plastic. You've got a big screen where this one had a small screen. You've got the additional power of the hybrid and all that. But
what are the hybrids running? Do you know? Did you?
So I was talking about this. So yeah. He bought this thing, I want to say 6-8 months ago, and it was sort of when all this starting, right? The car, the demand, the shortages had already, I think he went out all the way to like Hartford, Connecticut to find this and drove it back
from
Minneapolis.
Yeah.
And so I want to say it was in the mid-40s, but he claimed that some of these dealerships are adding $20,000-$25,000 to them right now. I believe him. You've been out there, you've seen it. And I think that the hybrid especially is really in demand with the, you know, prices of gas going up and everything else.
Yeah.
I'd like to drive that. I haven't driven that. And I bet that's a very different experience. The choice, you know, that I was given when I showed up to budget was that or the new Mitsubishi's at the Outlander. Mm. Or no, what is their little crossover? Is it they stole a name. Is it the, it's not the Eclipse, is it? It's whatever the
Eve, was it the Evo?
No, it's whatever. It's the one Mitsubishi you can buy, I think, that isn't the tiny little cheap car.
Yeah. They did something where they like took,
it was one of the legacy names, but yeah. Anyway, I thought later maybe I should have actually taken the Mitsubishi, because I think in the last year or two, they've really upped the game on those. But again, it would have been the car rental spec. It would have been, you know, would have had the cheap stereo, would have had the, you know, the mm-hmm. cheap powertrain, everything else. But yeah, it's interesting. I mean, you know, so much of our access to other cars, I feel like, is rental cars. And, and I guess a RAV4, as far as a rental car goes, again, you could do a lot worse. And,
Was it comfortable?
It was not as comfortable as the Tiguan, you know? Yeah. Okay. And there wasn't a lot of lumbar support, but it was fine.
Okay.
It was fine. But I get into, I guess I mentioned this because I get into your Ridgeline here, probably in this price bracket. I'm sure the Ridgeline's a little more expensive, but
yeah.
I'm sure there's plenty of crossover between a RAV4 and this is like twice as much vehicle.
Maybe cost wise, yeah. If the upper RAV4 isn't so
absolutely.
That, the MSRP on those to start off with is around it's between 37,000-38,000.
So. Well, that doesn't. There's nothing that seems cheap.
Yeah,
you know, and you know, I think even
and there were things on the RAV4.
Even this base RAV4 is 32 or 40, 34,000. I think I looked it up at, and oh my God, there's no way I would take that over what you just got.
Yeah,
that Honda, nothing about it feels cheap. I guess that's what I'm getting at.
Yeah,
the plastic is a different grade. It's Toyota gets so much praise, but I kind of feel like I don't know. I've just always been a Honda guy.
I wonder, I feel like lately Toyota's really been chasing after sort of like being the world's biggest auto producer. I wonder if some of the individual quality has sort of fallen off a little bit. So,
you know, maybe I've never owned a Toyota.
And even at the height of their sort of like powers of sort of production and longevity, I feel like the interior has always looked a little lower rent than some of the Honda equivalents.
I guess you got to make room for the Lexuses or whatever, but you know, and that, you know, the Lexuses, I'm always blown away at how nice they are. So maybe that's one where you don't want to be part of the base camp or whatever. You want to upgrade a little bit.
You want to be in base camp of Lexus.
As opposed to
mid-range. Maybe that's Toyota, it. So,
well, yeah. I love the truck. I think it's great. Obviously we're going to talk more and more about this thing. Mm-hmm. And hopefully this is one step closer to your new sports car. But I don't want to jinx that. But speaking of fun car, I took my car out for a drive today, but we should probably take a quick break.
All right. Well, let's tease that. We'll talk about your
why don't we do a quick read
after that.
We'll give a quick read here. Just Swiss Tracks. Quick shout out to our friends at Swiss Tracks. We still have our promo code going. It's a STEER15 at checkout at SwissTracks.com, and it's 15% off your order. Again, STEER15. We'll be back. We're back.
We're back, and we also want to say thank you to our sponsor, Gooder Sunglasses. Yeah. Gooder's makes affordable, polarized running sunglasses that are no slip, no bounce, and all polarized and all fun. And for our steering committee listeners, if you use the code STEERING15, that's steering, S-T-E-E-R-I-N-G, 15, at checkout, and you'll get 15% off your order at gooder.com.
And they're good shades. I get, I've said this before, I think I get more compliments on my Gooder shades than I do on my GT4. But quick shout, and I want to give a quick shout out. I ran into a guy. The joke is we had this rental car. So we went to the Optimist Club, which I've been invited to their 7 a.m. breakfast tomorrow. It's just like Scientology. If I go, they'll have me in their grasp and I'll never get to, they couldn't have been nicer, but we would like to go because I always have the best Christmas trees. And so Optimist Club, here in Denver, I don't know if it's the Monaco or the Southeast Denver, chapter, shout out, nice guys. But anyway, we had this rental car, this RAV4. And so we put this Christmas tree on top and they're like, well, let's go get some bagels. I didn't even think about it. We roll up then to Rosenberg's Kosher.
Just curious. You just call them bagels.
Bagels? What do you call them?
Bagels?
Bagels?
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's what the rest of the world is calling
bagels?
Them. Bagels?
Bagels, yeah. Yeah, maybe I mispronounced. I don't know.
It definitely sounds like bagels the way you bagels? Just said it.
Yeah. All right. I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, you know.
We're all about pronunciation on this show, Ryan. I think you know that, right?
If that's how I said it, I didn't mean to say it that way. I, mea culpa, mea culpa. But so we roll up with this giant Christmas tree to Rosenberg's Kosher. Mm-hmm. To get bagels.
Delicious bagels.
They really are. It's not too far from here. And but there was a beautiful 992 Carrera GT Silver parked out front on in the end space as Porsche drivers, as we do. And of course, there were a couple of cars over there. Was a Hyundai or whatever, an Excel or whatever, the Sonata. And both drivers come out at the same time and say, hey, I really like your car. And the Hyundai guy goes, you know, and he was joking, but this guy says, hey, thanks, it's a Hyundai. shout out to you, Dennis, very clean GT Silver 992 Carrera. I think you're listening. So it was a pleasure to talk with you and appreciate you listening. And
Welcome to the committee.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've been a few of you out and about lately. I've had my t-shirt on and I've been out driving and stuff. So it's always a pleasure. But
yeah, I along those lines too, I was in Yuma, Arizona or California, I think. It's right on the border.
Oh, that's there's a movie like the 510 to Yuma or something, right? It's an old Western.
Okay. Yeah, with Christian Bale and
I think there was an old one too, right?
Oh, there might be an older one too. Yeah, I saw the one that's more recent.
Right on.
What's his name? The Australian actor. But
now Yuma is probably, is it still like just a little like a stop along the highway or is it a big city or? I don't know Yuma.
It's in between.
It's got a very,
it's like a large sort of suburban sprawl.
That name brings some weight to it or something.
Wouldn't call it a big city, but I wouldn't call it a stop along the road. But we pulled in there to get gas. And as I did that, I saw a younger fellow pull in with a 996.24S, Carrera 4S. And I walked over.
Maybe the best looking of the 996s?
Absolutely. Yeah. I walked over and just, you know, complimented him on it because, you know, I was filling up my tank and he's like, yeah, I just picked it up.
Yeah.
So Nick, hopefully you're listening as well too. You just started following us on Instagram. So congratulations on your purchase. You said you got
Did he get a t-shirt? Because I didn't have any t-shirts when I ran into Dennis. I'm going to carry them now.
He sure did.
Oh, good. Yeah. A gray one or a black one?
A gray one.
All right. Yeah. Well, black ones are better. Sorry, but
Well, his that was the best size for him.
So. Okay. Cool.
Congratulations. I hope you drive the wheels off that thing. It looks like you you do on your own Instagram feed.
You know, I saw him on Instagram. Yeah. It's not his only Porsche, is it?
No, I don't think
it
is.
At least he had other pictures of.
Yeah. But he said he got a screaming deal on that. We didn't talk exact price, but he said the guy just had it listed way off.
No kidding. Price. All right. So happens.
He grabbed it before anyone.
Never happens to me,
questions.
But.
Yeah, no, not in this
I like
day.
To buy not, high,
not
sell low.
Not know. Entirely recently either, as it happened to anybody.
No, that's
gotten
amazing.
A good deal
that's
on amazing. A used car. So, but it was a great, great looking example. So, well, 2003.
70 degrees out today here in Denver. I think it was actually 73 in the car. I should mention too. It's kind of a minor miracle I got out for a drive today because yesterday, about that time, I took the dog out. I told you this. Took the dog out. We have sort of a vacant lot near us. They're doing the building some new houses, whatever. It's sort of this creek that runs through. It's really more of a drainage ditch. And at this time of the year, it's pretty dry. And I take the dog out and there's no one around so she can run and no one gives me any, you know, it's not like the park where someone will give you grief or, you know, there'll be another dog or whatever. And I always like to try to pick up some trash, you know, while I'm there. I'm going to try to be a good neighbor. I think sometimes I'm the only one who does, but the problem is there's not much trash left in this lot now. So I had to go into this creek bed that there was like a Starbucks cup or whatever, probably been there for a while. And I just had some thin soled tennis shoes on and I sort of leaped into this. They weren't these.
Not these.
These ones. would have been safe. These would have giant soles, but
yeah.
And I landed right on a piece of rusty metal fence wire.
Wow.
It went right into my heel through the sole of the shoe, whatever. Immediately thought
left, or right foot?
Right foot, you know. So, you need them both for driving the three pedal.
Especially
car,
right. Yeah. So that's your driving career.
Yeah. You got to be able to roll on that heel. And so of course, immediately thinking, oh God, they're going to have to amputate. I had to pull this wire out of my heel, Doug.
Were you Googling hand controls for GT4?
Oh my God. Yeah. I was Googling, do I need a tetanus shot? And thank you, AT&T, because once again, you've throttled my data at the end of the month. So I didn't know until I got home, but went to the King Supers here, which is like our Kroger, and the pharmacy gave me the tetanus shot, checked it out, got a Band-Aid, and I guess I'm going to live. They didn't even charge me. That's what's weird.
They didn't.
It was free.
For a tetanus shot.
Go get a free tetanus shot, everyone. You never know when you're going to jump and land on an old piece of fence wire.
Yeah. We're probably all overdue for one, right?
Well, yeah, the pharmacist asked me when the last time, and I said it was probably when I had a bike accident in college. That was 20 plus years ago, 25 years ago.
Yeah.
And I got one then, and I'm sure, I hardly ever go to the doctor, so I'm pretty sure I haven't had one recently.
Yeah.
Anyway, I guess I'm going to live. It's a little sore. I feel better. I didn't know what tetanus was. Apparently it's a respiratory thing or can turn into a respiratory thing. You can actually suffocate from it. So
really?
I got to have these golden pipes for, healthy for the podcast.
Absolutely. We'd hate to lose
and
your
you
voice.
Should go get a tetanus shot too for the same reason. Some people may not agree with you, Doug, but anyway, I had to get out. It was a beautiful day.
So you needed to get some fresh air.
And I got some fresh air. Yeah. I played hooky for an hour or two during the middle of the day here and I got up early. So I felt like it was okay and make sure the heel still worked.
Yeah.
What are those driving shoes at? The Pilates? There's Italian driving shoes. They look a little goofy, but they're great to drive in.
I'll show them to you sometime. Do your endorsement. What's your driving shoe?
Pilotes, I think they are. Well, they're these Pilotes and Piloti. God, I'm going to mispronounce this. It's an Italian brand that is constantly.
We never mispronounce things on the steering
wheel. No, never. Now you know. This is like a lot of Italian brands. Wink, wink, whatever. This brand is forever going in and out of business.
Oh, well, yeah, okay. Okay. Yeah, that is. I was going right. to say, I thought I could take that a couple different
ways.
Are they really amazing looking, but not really built well?
I like the old ones better. And then they probably got picked up by a private equity group or something. And I'm not as crazy about the new style, but they're great driving shoes because they're narrow. I have big feet. I have size 14 feet. They make them in my size, which a lot of the driving shoe companies don't. The racing, shoe companies don't. At least not, the American ones usually make some bigger ones, but not the European ones. Great shoes.
Okay.
If you can find them like I said, they go in and out of, they wax and they wane. But I did throw on the shoes today and I went, beautiful day. There's a little salt dust on the streets here and some sand in the corners, but I felt like I could deal.
You had some good moments today.
I did. I went up to Golden Gate and got up most of the way and then it got a little dirty up there with salt and sand and stuff. So I turned around. The bottom part was pretty clean. But the brilliant part was, at least on the way up, I had no one in front of me. Mm-hmm. And so I don't want to say, it was a good eight tenths drive. And I needed that today. It was great. It was a beautiful day. I had the windows down. When this car warms up, it's just so good, Doug. Of course, now I'm like, I need just a little more power. this feeds into our GT4 RS episode. In case anyone's curious, in the end, I didn't reach out. I didn't solicit an allocation or anything like that.
Not yet.
I know that's an amazing car, but at the end of the day, I didn't do it. And I didn't want to set myself up for disappointment. I didn't want to set up myself for, I don't know, it was just going to be a lot of hassle. And I don't know what my chances of actually getting one were. I heard from one listener that he had, reached out to his dealer. I don't know if he's local or not. I don't think he is. But they were asking for a $50,000 markup just for a spot on the list, or $50,000 deposit. And then that would be on top of the price too.
Yeah.
And this can quickly spiral out of control, as we talked about.
Yeah.
You know, we're with the Vysock pack, I think you're talking 180, 190,000 with a few options. And then if you're talking a $50,000, you know, bonus on top.
Yeah, well, buy in, I guess, to reserve your spot.
There's a lot of stuff you can get for $220,000 or whatever that would end up costing. And that's way out of my price league anyway. So, you know, and no manual, but I absolutely hope we get to drive one at some point. They are awesome. I think, you know, like anything, the hype will die down, but right now it is the hot car. And it is awesome. But, Yeah, for a number of reasons, I didn't even take it any further.
So. It's a hot car, but you're it's going to die down. I mean, there's going to be a GT3 RS here, probably any
moment for sure,
now, almost, you know? Right? I mean, we expect that any month now.
Well, we've seen the charts. So. I think it was at Nick Murray on his YouTube channel. He basically has mapped out these life cycles, right? So in just when this, you know, the RS, you know, comes out last, and then the new model comes out. So then everyone wants the base new model or the S, you know, it's all engineered, you know, I mean, of course, but it's an awesome car. And I think I've watched everything on YouTube, listened to every podcast that's talked about it. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of downloads on that podcast. It's an awesome car. But for now, there's something to be said for the standard GT4. It's just an awesome car. I love the manual personally. And just financially, I'm in a much better place hanging on to this, I think. Mm-hmm. And hey, we've talked about before, it's still, despite the new RS, this thing's still worth more than what I paid for it, I think. So
that's amazing.
You know, and for a GT4, I've got a relatively low spec. I mean, it's got, you know, we've talked about this, it's got all the stuff you want. Nothing you don't, except for maybe the buckets. I'm happy with it, and I'm just going to enjoy it. And I hit 3,000 miles today. That's sort of my self-imposed mileage limit. I want to keep it about 3,000 a year. And I bought this car about 14 months ago, I think it was. So right where I want to be. And I'm driving it, you know, that I'm not driving it. I'm driving it all I want to drive it. But I also, when I take this car out, I want it to be a bit of an event.
This car does not go on any superfluous trips at all.
No,
this car
ass to drive around town because you're constantly looking for curbs and this and that. I can't imagine what the RS is like.
Have you ever taken your daughter to school in it?
No, I do. You know, I picked her up in the old one a couple of times, and that was a little more manageable, you know. Yeah. But
slightly more every day.
Yeah, you know, I don't think she cares. You know, I've seen some pretty cool cars at her school. I sent you some pictures.
Yeah,
that could be a whole new Instagram thing, the cars of the Montessori School of Denver. And I know you've got some pretty nice cars at your kid's school too. But
although I would say not less sports cars and more like really nice like SUVs.
Yeah.
But I think your school wins in that department.
So. I think the best car I've seen, I haven't seen it now in a while, but it was an 812 Ferrari. That was... That's a pretty cool car to get dropped.
Really, nice car.
And so there was a nice GT3 Touring and GT Silver too. That's probably the closest thing to what I have. But it was great to get the car out. Yeah, didn't really miss the GT3 RS the GT4 RS today. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
I don't know how many more of these days we'll have. This is totally unnatural that it's but I wasn't going to not drive, right?
So yeah, it was about 70 degrees here in Denver.
Yeah.
It was very pleasant, although it makes you wonder about, you know, the fate of our planet and the whole
climate. So you're a skier. What's skiing looking like right now?
It's not good right now. I mean, this is the longest we've gone without snow in Denver, really. Yeah.
Any of the resorts opening in the hills?
Some of them are open, but they don't have a lot of coverage right now. So it's a little cooler up in the mountains, so some of the mountains can make snow. But
They must be getting, based on the salt and the sand I saw today, there must be something falling, but it's definitely not where it should be. I don't really have a whole lot else to I did see Brews Beers. We should give a shout out to our friends at Brews Beers. The root beer, which is really good, is they're actually putting it in cans finally.
Oh, nice.
It's very exciting. I think up until this point you had to get it in a growler. It's it's not your typical root beer. It's not like the syrupy sweet stuff. It's like you taste the spice in it. I don't know if you've had it. It's really good. My daughter loves it. So we're all very excited that it'll be coming out in cans. And hopefully Bruce has something else coming out in cans before too long. That'll be even more exciting. Yeah. But we'll keep teasing that.
Stay tuned to this station for more information on that. So,
What else? Instagram. Follow us on Instagram.
Yeah.
At Steering Committee.
Steering Committee Podcast on Instagram. And then also you can follow you individually on Instagram.
Yep. And I don't know if you're soliciting individually or if you're sort of.
Everything that our steering committee audience wants to see is just going to be on the steering committee.
And I just have the one. I have nothing personal. So it's just cars. Yeah. And I've been posting some interesting stuff. Did you like that right-hand drive Land Cruiser?
You posted that and then you also texted me and said, tell me what you know about this.
Yeah. And I didn't get a response.
Well, I got a little busy, but I don't know much except for the fact that, you know, they're, as you said, they were available in Japanese and Australian markets. That's why they're right-hand drive. They're diesels, and people love them here because they think they're
going to
last.
It's got some cool graphics. It's got 80s graphics on a 90s Land Rover.
Yeah, that's kind of Toyota's move. Is
the Tron like turbo?
They keep the design so long that it just like goes into the next fashion trend.
Well, I honestly had to look it up because it could have been an 89 or it could have been a 98, right? I mean,
it's an FJ80 series, but it's it was a diesel option that they make for the rest of the world.
It's a manual too, right?
It probably is. Yeah,
just crazy,
or it could be. It's a something that they sell in other markets, but they never sold in the United States. They never sold the diesel Land Cruiser in the United States.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. So, did you watch the Doug DeMuro where he talks about he test drove the new one?
I did.
Yeah. Everyone but the US model.
Yeah. Yeah. I did. It was doubly odd because it's the new one. So I was learning new stuff about it, but it was also a spec that we would have never gotten in the United States anyways. Right. It was a very basic,
like a fleet spec.
Entry level. It had the
exact UN spec.
Well, it had that exact same thing you were talking about with I don't even think they put a touch screen in. It was like,
oh yeah, it was just
dash,
like that.
The dash is like the size
also
of a touch
Toyota,
screen,
you know,
but it had a tiny little LCD display there.
I'm not going to call it the rental car spec or a RAV4. I'm going to call it the UN spec RAV4 because this car that this Land Rover he was driving was at an armorer's. Land Cruiser was at an armorer's shop. Yeah. And so it was probably going, into UN service or, somewhere in the Middle East or some, Banana Republic somewhere.
Some other troubled part of the world.
And I'm realizing, I'm realizing most of my Instagram content and I'm sort of digging, in the past here, I posted a Qatar or Dubai plated 812 with some sort of like Mansory body kit or something. It was from a couple years ago. And I'm going to give you a shout out. I think it's Auto Official Instagram. I'm going to mess this up. Said, hey, did you see this recently? I said, no, it was actually a couple years ago. So he said, yeah, I remember I saw that car, but I thought it had left. So I'm digging into my archives and finding some interesting stuff, but I'm finding most of my stuff I actually took taking cars into the Porsche of Colorado Springs for oil changes. Yeah. And I mean, they just always have such good stuff, just multiple GT3s and Tourings, and there's an R in there. And at the time, this was a few years ago, some of these pictures, I wasn't quite the level of fan I am now. And it's just, man, they've always just had amazing stuff. But anyway, anything else?
No, not that I can think of. We're going to keep putting the miles on the Ridgeline it's in the long-term test fleet, as some magazines would say.
So we're thinking 3,000 miles a month versus my 3,000 a year, maybe.
Closer to that.
In the GT4. And if anyone's listening and has, this isn't a GT car thing. This is just an all Porsche thing. This time of year, they're like leaf vacs. Right, the whole front ends get filled up with leaves, right?
I see.
Even with the mesh on the GT4 or whatever, I if anyone knows a good way of getting that stuff out without removing anything or, please write in, let us know.
Well, and until you figure that out, I think next year I'll just ask you to do some high-speed passing in front of my house and help me suck up the leaves from my trees. God. So,
we have a neighbor here who, it must have been 2 hours, there were two guys out there from a lawn service raking the lawn with blowers, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Of course, this is when I've got a conference call at work or whatever. They could have done twice as much with a rake. Anyway, all right. We should wrap this up.
you drop a new thought out there. I need to respond to that. California is going to outlaw those little engines that they use for stuff like that. they're going to let people continue to use the ones that they have, but as they buy new ones, they all have to be electric.
There's like two strokes. Is that part of the problem?
They're just really loud and they're really obnoxious.
Yeah, they're really loud.
I really hate the sound of those, but California is going to outlaw them, ban them, so everything will be electric.
You know, this might be
I would welcome that regulation.
I was going to say, this might be the one internal combustion, like, you know, what do you want to call it, that I would support?
Yeah, the regular, ban.
Ban that I would support.
Get them out of here.
Anyway, all right. And on that bombshell.
So we'll end on that political editorial there.
All right. So. We'll be back.